Scripture reading this morning is from John chapter 3, verses 1 through 17. Now there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God." Jesus answered him, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above." Nicodemus said to him, "How can anyone be born after growing old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. That is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I said what I said to you. You must be born from above. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the spirit." Nicodemus said to him, How can these things be?" Jesus answered him, "Are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Very truly, I tell you, we speak of what we know and testify to what we have seen, yet you do not receive our testimony. If I told you about earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of God, man, be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
I am so blessed to sit up front like this. It's kind of my jam for a couple of reasons. I can see who's here. Everybody go like that. Because when I miss you, I miss you. And this is a way for me to get to see who's here. And then I go, oh, wait a minute. Where is? And then I kind of add that to my prayer list. And I also get to hear how well you sing. But can I say, way to go, choir, today? Can we give it up for the choir again? Way to pick a song, girl. Woman. That was awesome. And you guys, I just thought you were going to break out into something. I've been listening to gospel choirs. Yesterday, I was kind of in a thing. And so what gets me out of a thing sometimes is I listen to gospel choirs. And I got to tell you, it was pretty cool. I just was sure y'all were going to start clapping in a minute. I'm grateful to be able to preach this Sunday. I'm Pastor Marcia Vincent, and I am the associate pastor here, pastor of congregational care. You all let me care for you, and I'm grateful for that as well. I don't do such a great job, but I mean well. Always know that. But I'm grateful because this is the lectionary scripture of this Sunday that's in our lectionary. As United Methodists, we have a lectionary in which we have pieces of scripture that come to us every Sunday, and this is one of them. And I want to share, this is the first time when I preached in this church the first time, a few years ago, when I was an associate pastor before, this was the scripture that was up in the running. So I went, are you kidding me, God? And he says, I never kid about scripture. He did, flat out, he said it to me. So I was really grateful to get to do that because I love this scripture. And I think what I love about it is it's so much, it's the words of Jesus who says to the world, I came at God's behest. I didn't come to judge. I came to save. I cannot say 3:16 without 17. How many of you ever, years ago, well, I don't know how many years ago, somebody would be at a football game and they always had John 3:16. I wonder where that guy is. Heaven. I suspect he's in heaven. But maybe we resurge that. If you guys go to, when we go in July, let's all take John 3:16 signs. You want to? I think we should. But I always think about that. And I grew up, how many grew up memorizing that? You didn't get your something on Sunday morning, your snack or something, if you didn't have your scripture memorized. And that's why I look the way I look, because I memorized it pretty quickly. I always wanted my snack. That's a little old country church, though. But I always think about this and think about, as I've gotten older and as we get older, we need to understand that this is how we can recognize love all around us, all the time. When somebody does something for someone else, not out of judgment, but out of love and saving, kind of a fun thing, right? It kind of changes your perspective a little bit of why I do what I do. The church has held together centuries. And I hear how the church is changing. And the church has always changed. Can I get an amen? I mean, goodness, when the Nicene Creed, which you have on the back, you see that little copy of the Nicene Creed in your bulletin? It's on the back of the prayers. Oh, come on now. See, and some of you are going, why is it? Oh, well, now this is going to be fun. Because this is the Apostles' Creed, which is what we usually say, because it's shorter, because we're humans. But I'm going to tell you right now, we're not doing that. Open up your hymnals, because the Nicene Creed, this is 881, 880 is the Nicene Creed, because I want to talk to you about the Nicene Creed. It was the first one. Everybody's scrambling to find a hymnal. I'm sorry, but find your hymnal. This is why I get to do this so frequently, infrequently. Find a hymnal, because now I got to find a hymnal. Are you kidding me? There is not a hymnal up here. Holy guacamole! Oh, you're so good to me. 880. Because I love the history of church. I love how we keep doing what we keep doing because we hang on to these that are called traditions. And that's what I like that we do in the world. This connects us to the universal church, not just the United Methodist Church, although there's probably a bazillion of them right now getting ready to do one or other of these creeds. And so I wanted to kind of share that with you because this is a thought that I have, the Nicene Creed. We're going to say it together. Now, it's longer, and I get that. I totally get that. Just look over here at the Apostles' Creed. It's the American version. No, it's not the American version. I'm messing with you a little bit. It's a shorter version, very concise. But the Nicene Creed was the first one in 325 at the first council of church people who wanted church to go on and get together, get unified. You with me? Everybody go, yes. This is like being in my class. This is the Nicene Creed, and it is lengthier. And I hope if you look at both of them sitting there, you can see some, you can immediately go, this one's, poof, it's longer. But it has some of the most beautiful language. When the first get together was, this is what they thought about God the Father, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit, the Holy Trinity, which is what we are observing today. So let's try this. Let's see if we can try. It's not going to be on the screens. I promise you it's not going to be on the screens. So you're all looking up, and I'm going, nope. We're going to look at this hymnal. Yeah, you go. And we're going to say it together. We believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again. In accordance with the Scriptures, he ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshiped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in the one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Isn't that just the prettiest thing? Doesn't it just give you more to put around who we think God is? I love this. And I apologize for it being the Apostles' Creed, but I'm not going to, because it's good stuff too. So I want you to take it home with you and work on it this week. And it's got some beautiful, it's kind of like a little abbreviated version of it. I wanted to share the Nicene Creed with you because it is the church's attempt to keep us together. I think sometimes in this world, the world tries to divide us. Anybody ever feel that way today? A little bit? A little bit? And these words, which are traditional words, and people might say kind of old-timey words, but they're meant to keep us together. They're meant to keep you and I. Look around the room a little bit. I love looking around the room a little bit. Look around the room a little bit and see all these sweet folks that we need to stay together. Now, do we all think alike? Nope. But in God, in Jesus Christ, in the power of the Holy Spirit, we are unified in this place to sing our songs and hear our beautiful music. And if that isn't trying to recognize love, I'm not sure what is. I'm not very good at picking out sermon titles. And I read the scripture, and I read the scripture, and I read the Apostles' Creed, and I read the Nicene Creed. And you'll actually see there's an ecumenical version of the Apostles' Creed. I read them over and over. And then I read John 3:16 and 17. I love that scripture because Jesus is kind of was doing with that time frame what the church has always tried to do. He's tried to make it simple for us. Man, do we complicate it or what? Do you ever feel like it's a little complicated when you're trying to figure out what's going on in your world? The best thing I hope you can take from today is that if we recognize love in God's love, and we recognize love in the love of Jesus Christ, and then in John 14, we hear that Jesus tells us about God's love even more because God's going to send the Holy Spirit to guide us. Anybody want to talk about the Holy Spirit? I love talking about the Holy Spirit. I didn't always because I didn't understand it. And honestly, I have a colleague and he said, you're going to take out the Trinity? You're going to take it on this Sunday? And I said, well, I thought I might. You know, when someone says something like that to you, go, uh-oh, shouldn't I? He said, well, good luck. And then I really got panicked. Because I think it's so simple. I don't completely understand the Holy Trinity. And I'm kind of concerned when somebody says they have it all figured out and it's their way only. I'm a little concerned when they try to put God's love in their box. I'm a little concerned about that. But I'm still going to love them, and there's nothing they can do about it. As we think about this day, and as we think about all the love, and really, oh, you know, there's a sweet little, I guess it's a meme, and it says that as we think about all the food, who's going to have a big barbecue this afternoon? Who's going to eat like they can't move tomorrow? Who's doing it? It's okay. I'm going to find somewhere to buy some food. My sweet family knows I don't cook anymore. But we do need to remember the love of those who sacrificed, not only on the field of battle, but did anybody have a mom and dad that sacrificed for you? That kind of love? Well, that's the kind of God's love that I love thinking about. That's the kind of God's love that gives us affirmations of faith, that gives us a place to come on a Sunday, that gives us beautiful music and gifted musicians and people who sing with their whole hearts. I've got a dear friend, and she loves to sing, but she's like me. She cannot carry a tune in a bucket. And she's a little off key, and she sings a little bit ahead of the music. But I love to hear her sing because she loves God more than she worries about what people think about what she does. Isn't that cool? Wouldn't it be something if we loved God more than worrying about what people think about what we do? Because we might just be freaky and love everybody. No matter what, no matter who they are, no matter what they think, no matter who they love, no matter what their political, you know what I'm saying, no matter what. Wouldn't it just be freaky if we just said, I'm going to love you? No, please don't do that at Walmart. I was talking about Walmart because I love Walmart so much. Well, you could. I mean, which brings us to a piece in this that I think is fascinating. Because when I bring you a message, I hope that I can encourage you to know your story. All of this is a big story. I could tell you the story about the worm that was in that doorway right now. Never mind, it's a different story. There are stories all around us all the time. Right? I love hearing your stories. This is all part of God's big story. The Holy Trinity, the love, recognizing God's love. It's all part of the big story of love. God created the earth and all these beautiful creatures and things, right? Okay, that's the first story. And then he created us to take care of it. Sometimes we win, sometimes we don't do so well in that department. But it's all about God's love. And so I hope when you leave this place, you'll think, whew, how could I? And that's what the red roses, everybody's saying, what are the red roses all about? Well, I just had a thought. My mom's favorite flower was a red rose. At her funeral, she sang, what is that great song, Just One Rose Will Do? That was her song. So we had this beautiful big casket piece. And I'm sure people thought, what in the world? We had one single rose in it because that's what she wanted. So I thought today, this is an exercise. Sometimes when I talk to you, somebody said to me, you always put us to work. I kind of took that as a compliment, but I'm not sure that's the way it was meant. You always put us to work. And I just thought we've got all these roses, and I wondered a couple things. I wondered if we could take a rose, and we might take it to a cemetery. We might. Or we might give it to a waitress at lunch and explain to her that you have a crazy pastor who said, I got to give this rose out today because I'm supposed to be showing love so that somebody can recognize love. Because when we recognize God's love, just simple and purely, and maybe it's just in his crazy little red rose, then maybe somebody might recognize God's love in us. Ooh, come on. Who wants a stranger to recognize God in you? Now you don't have to put your hands up. I just ask the question. Because that's scary. Then you're going to be a Jesus freak. Then you're going to open your heart up to the guidance of the Holy Spirit. And when people see God in you, it may affect them and it may not. It may inspire them or encourage them. Wouldn't that be sweet If this week we inspired somebody, if we maybe figured out what our story connected to God is, anybody got a God story? I'd like to hear it this week. I love God's stories. Oh my gosh. I love to think about God's stories, and they just come at me. Look for, recognize God's love in your story this week. Could you do that? Would you think about it? Would you pray about it? Recognize God's love in your story, because then maybe you can share it with somebody else. So now, honestly, when church is over, if you want to take, God bless you. If you want to take a rose, take a rose. If you want to take a couple of roses, if God says you need to take a couple of roses, that's cool too. If you want to take a red rose, which is the symbol of love, we know that. I worked in the floral industry. Red rose was, oh my goodness, if the boy sent her red roses, whew, we were going to have a wedding pretty soon. You might want to take a red rose to somebody like that. So I'm going to encourage you to do that as we leave this place. Thank you for sharing the little Nicene Creed. I hope you'll take the Apostles' Creed home, because that's also the, it talks about, it's all about the Trinity today. And I'll be honest with you, I don't fully understand the biblical commentary about it. I really don't. But I just have to look around this room. I just have to look around this room just a little bit. I know some of your stories. I know some of your gifts. I know where you are at some points in your life, and some I don't. But I know you're here today for a reason. And I hope it's to feel God's love, because this sure is a love bug congregation. They know how to love. We know how to love. Amen. And we're getting better and better at it. And that's what I love about it. Could we pray together? Holy Father, we are so grateful for your love. And Lord, to be honest, maybe we don't always understand it, because it's kind of hard to understand sometimes when the world is kind of hard. But we're going to trust it. We're going to trust your presence. We're going to trust your love. And we will not be shaken from it. Guide us. Help us. And use us always. It's in the name of Jesus we pray. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.